Okay, we are in chapter 4 of Shar Yichud Ve'amuna, page 295, 296. The author left off with a question and gave an example of the sun ray and the sun. The sun ray is available as a sun ray when it's 93 million miles here on the earth.
Right.
And when the sun ray is contained in the earth, it has no existence. And he said they want to use that paradigm to our existence.
Contained in the earth?
In the sun.
The
sun.
Yeah.
You want to use the same paradigm for... he wants to explain that our paradigm of our existence should be the same, that we exist like a sun ray outside of the sun, because we're not near the godly revelation. But then he asks less often a question is, but wait a minute, Hashem is right here. So the paradigm is like like the sun ray out of the sun. Our existence is like the sun ray in the sun. So how do we exist? That's how we ended off last time.
Right.
This isn't Perek Dalet, Ki Hinei Ksiv, Ki Shem Meshumagin Hashem Elokim. It says, there's a verse, a pasuk, that in Tehillim, that the sun and its cover is Hashem Elokim.
The sun and its cover. Yes.
Just like there is.
Are the same thing.
The reason why we are able to function is because there is an interposition between us and the sun.
Yes.
You might want to call it the atmosphere. Maybe there is something physical around the sun, which scientists have yet to discover because they can't.
It's a little warm.
You can't go sending probes to the sun, nor can you you can try and take pictures of the sun. They do that. We talked about that last week. But, so it says that's the relationship between that and the names Hashem and Elohim. We said before that each name has its own function.
Right.
It has its own thing that it's doing. The point where he's leading to now is this idea of Shar Yichud.
Mm-hmm.
Yichud meaning unity. There's a lot of things going on. You got a Hashem going on. You got an Elohim going on. Later on, he'll talk about a Shakai. And there's all these things going on. But it's all a single expression. And that's, you can't understand right now because I haven't explained anything, but that's what he wants to say. So the relationship between the sun and the cover, which allows us to exist, is the same thing Hashem Elokim. Because what's the purpose of the cover? The purpose of the cover is not to conceal. The purpose of the cover is to allow the right amount of revelation.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what it is. If the purpose of the cover was concealed, then we'd be too cold. We wouldn't be able to exist.
The beauty of Gevura.
So the same thing also is Elokim, which is the Gevura, the holding back.
Yeah.
Its function is to allow just what Hashem, which is this powerful giving force, to come and produce just the right amount of godliness that we don't get zapped out of existence. Pirish, Magen hu nartek l'shemesh, l'hagen shiyuch lo habriyes lisbolay. That the cover, that is a shield, is a box to the sun, and it protects it. It should be able to, that the creatures, meaning us, should be able to withstand sunlight.
Right.
Put that there. Finish.
Okay.
K'mar merzal la'asid lava kodesh baruch hu ma'itzi chama min ner taka. As it says, there's a gemara in the Darim, that in the future, Hashem is going to take out, meaning when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to take the sun out of his cover. Rishay nidunin ba'kulu. The wicked are going to be punished by it, and the righteous are going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
If that is to be understood allegorically, it seems so. Because I don't think that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be this really intense sun, and all these righteous people there are just going to get these, suntans.
Cool suntans.
Yeah, you're just going to be
sunburned.
And everybody just gets crisped.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it's talking about there.
Yeah.
To understand what that verse means.
Yeah.
But I'm not one to say, well, this is supposed to be understood allegorically. I'm a fundamentalist and I think everything's going to be the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
But it does say that the diminution of the moon will be canceled.
Right.
That the moon will shine like the sun.
Yes.
And it says that the sun will shine like the light of the Shishishimei Breshith. Okay? So now this always remains to be seen exactly how this is going to be manifest, that we're going to be, you know.
And how that works.
I'm going to have to get myself a new pair of Foster Grants.
Probably so.
You know, just like.
Yeah.
And.
Or maybe you won't need them. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm guessing.
It remains to be seen.
I'm guessing Foster Grants.
The whole reason why he's saying this is that we're not focusing on the cover. Okay, when you say it's a sunny day outside, okay, you're not saying, nor are you thinking, you know, the atmosphere is doing just a great number to allow just the right sun rays to come through.
Perfect. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. No, we're thinking it's a sunny day. The sun is shining.
Yes.
Okay. It's because the whole purpose of the cover is to allow the sun to shine.
Right.
Okay, because otherwise the sun doesn't shine, the sun just incinerates.
We're not nearly as grateful for the Gevura as we are for the Chesed.
Right.
Even though...
That's the thing. That's the point he's going to make. He's going to say this in chapter 6 quite clearly.
Even though...
The whole purpose of the Gevura is an expression of kindness.
Right, exactly.
And he said this before
in
the early chapters way back in the 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
And just as it is that this sheath covers the sun to allow just the right amount of godliness to come through, so too also the sun to come through, so too the name Elohim covers over the Shem Hashem, Shem Havaya, to allow the right amount of godliness to come through. The Shem Havaya Pirshu Mahave Esakel Ma'ayin L'Yesh. The root of the word Havyud Kei Vav Kei is Hova, which means to like come into existence. Like His Havos Ha'olamos, which means to bring the world into existence.
Okay.
And the Yud, Mishameshes Al Pu'ula Shuhum Lashon Heve V'Tamid. The Yud in front of the Yud Kei Vav, because he had Hei Vav Hei is the root, which means to bring into existence. And then you have the Yud in front. The Yud makes it present perfect tense. For all you grammarians out there, he gives an example. So Job does.
Constantly.
That when someone asks you, what do you do for a living? And you say, I do this for a living. Does that mean you're doing it right this second?
Nope.
In that case, it's not you're doing it right this second,
right.
But it's something you've had done in the past. You identify yourself as this, doing this right now. You are a such and such. And in the future, you will continue doing that.
Right.
So here we have, the verb here is to bring into existence. The Yud expounds it that it's happening constantly.
Constantly, right. Yeah.
So if you're going to define Yud Kei Vav Kei, what is the function of Yud Kei? Because remember, Yud Kei Vav Kei is also just a name.
Right.
It's an algorithm for godliness.
Yes.
It's a way you put the godliness in, you crank the machine, and out comes out the other end. Like the Play-Doh Fun Factory over there.
Indeed,
what a bad example that is. So,
yes, it is. So bad.
So so that's what's happened. That's what the name El Havaya does. It acts as a conveyor of godliness, so that it should bring into existence. Why are we saying that? Because that's the highest name of Hashem that we have.
Yes.
And even still, that Hashem should just be identify Hashem as a creator, is very low godliness. Hashem is beyond that, but we haven't got names for that because we can't relate to anything higher than our existence.
Yeah, can't get
so therefore, any name of Hashem that we have is just going to be an expression
some
of something
facet.
That somehow relates to our existence.
Some facet of creation, right.
Okay, there's all kinds of Kabbalah words which aren't names, but rather descriptions.
Yeah.
You describe Hashem as, well, first of all, Ein Sof.
Right.
Okay, infinite. Okay, that's all we used to say. It's infinite. Okay?
Good.
Then you have names like Pshitas, which is more like an attribute. It's not an attribute. It's a... I want to say nomenclature, but it's a way of referring to the essence of Hashem. It's Pshitas. It's not something which has any form or definition.
Right. Okay.
This is our first cause, you might say.
Okay.
Okay. And they have Kabbalah words and the Zohar words, Elohim Lois, Nimnoim Nimnois, the cause of all cause, the expression of all expressions. All these things are just, they're still just waiting, relating to us. Because even right. for us to say Ein Sof, to say infinite,
yeah,
our expression of infinity is just basically beyond what we call finite. We know we have this thing called finiteness.
Yeah.
And so if you go beyond that, so then you hit infinite. Right. So our,
yeah.
I had a math professor to tell me that there's no such thing as absolute infinity. And I said, you're talking to a theologian. He said, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, because in his world, there is no absolute infinity.
Right.
It's just a little, infinity is just a little bit bigger than finiteness.
Right.
Okay, but even to us, because in mathematical terms, that's how we can relate to Ein Sof. So even calling Hashem Ein Sof is really just not doing Hashem any justice.
No.
We don't have the verbiage because we can't. We're still trying.
We're created.
We're still stuck in trying to think that Hashem is a noun.
Yeah.
Okay. And Hashem is not a noun because noun is defined as person, place, or thing. And Hashem is not a person, place, or thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're still stuck in that paradigm, and we're still just trying whatever we think about Hashem. It's doesn't do what Hashem is justice. So he says now. So the highest way that we the greatest thing that we can say about Hashem is that he brings the world into existence constantly. Haya Haiva Viyiya was is and will be. Mm. There's also Yud Kei Vav Kei is an abbreviation of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is all just a something from nothing.
Right.
That means to say, the life which flows every moment, mamish, meaning it's not, we already talked about this before, that if Hashem is going to stop for any instant, then it's going to cease to exist.
Sure, of course.
In each creature, memaitse pi Hashem, veruach, umahava oisamayin liyeshu chol rega. That Hashem, this is an expression of what's coming out from Hashem's mouth, which is enlivening everything from nothing to something constantly. It's not enough that Hashem created the world 6,000 years ago. It's Hashem creates the world constantly now.
For 6,000.
As we explained when we were talking in chapter 2, what's wrong with Aristotle, who said that that Hashem just kind of like created the world and put it in motion and stood back. The problem with that is there's no place for Hashem to stand back from. Because Hashem, being able to do anything, cannot remove himself and make himself nothing, make himself naught. Okay? Hashem cannot make himself not exist because then you're limiting Hashem.
Right.
Okay, I know that's actually backwards of what we normally think of as to do. You could do anything, but if you think about it, you'd say, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, Hashem being, Hashem can do everything, Hashem cannot make himself not be.
Right.
Because then Hashem's not able to do everything.
But isn't that the definition of
Tzimtzum? No. Tzimtzum means a containment of godly revelation. Hashem is not. Hashem is just contained in Tzimtzum so that we can appreciate it. That he talks about in chapter 7 when he talks about the mistake that the Vilna Gaon made. It says, we say this in davening, the praising of Hashem, all of those things. He's just going to focus, since we're talking about Hashem and Elohim, we're just going to talk about Gadol and Gibor, the early Kabbalists before. I think before the Moshe Cordovero. I'm just trying to remember if Moshe Cordovero calls Chesed Gadol or Chesed or Gedula. I think he does, but the Arizal already called it Chesed. But the early Kabbalists called it. If you listen to ask what the ten spheres are, so when they got the Chesed, they would say Gedula, Gevura, Teferis, Netzach, Hod, based on the pasuk that we say, I believe from Divrei Yamim, L'cha Hashem HaGedula, Gevura, Teferis, Netzach, Hod. Okay, it wasn't until later that they changed it to chesed, as in a greater understanding of what that expression was. Because great could be a whole lot of things.
Right.
Okay, great could be kindness, great could be severity, great could be could be hod, great could be, you know, malchus. You know, great doesn't do it. But when you say chesed means give, which is what the sphere is doing. Why the name was changed. Pirush HaGadol Humidas HaChesed. As he says right here, when it says Gadol, You know, you do this in Ata Gadol, what do we say? Hagad, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahaneh, Hakel, El Yain. Yes, in Shemayna Esrei, Gadol means chesed. Why? Gadol means chesed, yes. Because he spashtis achayis v'chol oilam v'sabureim la'en keis v'tachlis. Why is that? Because the attribute of kindness is able to create an infinite number of entities and give them life.
Hmm.
Okay, that's very, you call it, that's very big. Okay, because it has a lot of ability. It's so that Hashem could do it, and he does it just out of wanton kindness. It's just an expression of Hashem's kindness. And how much could Hashem create? Hashem could create an infinite number of things. Yep.
You can't quantification doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's an expression. How much could Hashem contain is also. But
that doesn't work either.
The thing is though, if once you contain everything, you have nothing. You're working back down to zero. Whereas the give, that's only so big. Because once you contain everything, you got nothing left. You can only contain it down to zero. But the giving goes on forever.
Right.
The gift that keeps on giving. What was that? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, that's right.
Does the word Gadol there, does it have any relationship because the brachas came through the Kohen?
No.
That'd be like Kohen Chesed.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Interchangeable.
No. It has nothing to do with the Kohen. It's got to do with Hashem.
I know that.
No. And why is it called Gedula? Why didn't the earlier Kabbalists, and why does it say in the Pasuk, L'cha Hashem HaChesed? This is L'cha Hashem HaGedula. Why did he choose that word? Mm-hmm. Aside from the fact that he was told to choose that word, because it was written prophetically.
Mm-hmm.
And why did it take till like the Moshe Kodavera, the Rizal, to change it to Chesed? Mm-hmm. Because it explains and describes a characteristic of Hashem. Because this ability to give life is unique to the greatness of Hashem. Only Hashem can bring things into existence.
Okay.
It's like, which is also, if you, what else could cause a first cause?
Yeah.
Or a first effect, rather. What else could cause a first effect? The only thing that could cause a first effect is the first cause. How many first causes are there? There's only one.
Yeah.
That we can only ascribe to Hashem.
Mm.
Ki gadol Hashem, because it says Hashem is great, and you cannot determine Hashem's greatness. Lachin mashpia gam ken chayas his havas ma'ayin liyesh lo'ilos abruim ein kates. Therefore, Hashem has the ability to bring things from nothing to something.
Mm.
You're talking about worlds and all the creatures in all the worlds, an infinite amount of times. Why? Sheteva hatev lehetiv. It is the nature of good to do good. Another name for chesed is tov.
Tov, yeah.
Good.
Okay.
So what does good do? Good does good. So what is chesed doing? Chesed is creating. It's bringing things into existence. How much so? Well, that's where gadol comes in. And it's called bachi kabora. The Hashem is the only entity that has the ability of bringing things into existence as an expression of Hashem's infinity, because Hashem is the only entity which is infinite. Everything else is just a product of it. Now, then, he said, but we said, so this is, now he's talking about chesed.
Okay.
And he really wanted to determine that we cannot understand Hashem's chesed because it's so beyond us, this ability to be infinite.
Right.
So he's going to say, but that's true with every attribute of Hashem. Because we didn't think about it. This ability to create a something from nothing can only be referred to Hashem. She'ein b'yecholo shum nivra levroi yesh miyayin lahachi yosu. No creature can create another creature and enliven it.
Right.
Okay, it says that if you would take all the scientists in the world and put them together, they could not make a a mosquito wing and put life into it. Okay? We have, I don't know, I'm not making any predictions, but it'll be a long time before we have to worry about cyborgs.
Yeah.
You know, it's, just, so.
That's 30 or 45 minutes away.
We're not going to have to worry about the robots taking over. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. No, you know, so. Don't lose your
don't lose sleep over that.
Don't
right
lose sleep yet. On it, okay? Because only Hashem can create life.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can't even create a virus from nothing. Yeah. You know?
There's not. Well,
they've tried. They're trying. They're really seriously trying.
Sure.
I don't remember where this is, but I saw there's a whole your tax dollars at work through the National Institute of Science.
Please don't hurt my feelings anymore. I can't.
They're trying to create viruses, but there's always a worry. What happens if we create a virus,
right,
and we have no known antidote for this virus that we're creating, because this is not a natural virus. We created it from something.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, you know, like the Andromeda strain coming out over here.
We're all going to turn into
who knows what.
Right.
So this is one of their valid worries that they have of this project that they're doing. Yes. I think it's in Maryland someplace.
Maybe it was Twinkies.
Ho-hos.
A blessed memory, yes. Yeah, so this is one of the things that they were worried about. I don't know where I heard about it.
Washington.
Yeah. When you think about cyborgs, I take it back.
Yeah, really.
If any congressmen are listening, I apologize. Oh. Anyway. I have no idea who's listening to these things online.
I said a little.
Yeah, okay.
Thought.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay. So gam mit zu hu le mile ma haskels kol brain was ge sam she ein kher be sechel shum never la haskel la hasig mit zu wie galt le vray yes ma ein la ge yese. So we can't understand Hashem's kindness. We don't have the ability to create. We have no conception of what creation is,
right,
even though these guys are going to be, I think it was $400 million these guys got to work on this project to make viruses out of nothing.
I'm so happy.
Okay, they got their kids' colleges, educations paid.
Yeah.
You know? Kibriya yesh ma'ayin hudavar shalamayla maseichel nevraim. A creation of a something from nothing is beyond our comprehension. And one of the problems with us creating something out of nothing is, first of all, we don't know what nothing is either.
Exactly. What are you starting with?
Yeah.
People put
these things, you know, Facebook is just like, someone explained to me that Facebook is just the grandest platform for a person to convey their own ego. I don't know if you know anything about Facebook. So there was a picture, it was a cartoon. Okay. It's the, what was it called? The Optimist's Conundrum or something like that. So it says you have a glass that's half full of water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the translation that the glass is half full of water or half empty.
Right.
The glass is half full of water and half full of air. So it's totally full.
Right, exactly.
So, you know. So because we don't have this nothing. And even now, the scientists are getting around. The Rambam wrote 800 years ago. That when you come out, when you go out of our atmosphere,
right,
and you want to get to the next planet,
right,
there's all this like onion skin thin layers of just between us and them. Okay,
right.
It's black and you can't whatever, and it's just onion skin thin layers. Okay, and everybody kind of like, you know, poo pooed that one, because what's between here and the next planet? Nothing.
Of course,
right? There's nothing here. Okay, comes along. I don't know how long it goes. Maybe 4 or 5 months ago. I'm behind because of my. My reading is not so current in physics, but now they have this stuff called black energy.
Yes.
Okay, what's black energy? That between each planet and each whatever, there's this energy that you can't see. It's just like this onion skin thin layer. They use the expression, onion skin thin
layer.
Same terminology that the Rambam used 1200, in the year 1200.
Oops. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so they're finally catching up. That's what they call it.
It just looks like blobby blob.
No, it's not blob. It's onion skin. They're all tacked. They're all stacked on one of the. I'm not. This is no. It's not space. The term space is incorrect.
Right. But
it's not space.
Dense stuff.
It's energy. There's this energy between us and them. It's not a white energy that was gonna, if you touch it, you're gonna get knocked back. It's a black energy. Yeah.
Right.
It was, your eyeballs must have popped up, but I never saw that onions. You think onions, you think of like those big, like brick looking cells under a not so good microscope.
No, onion skins are just very thin layers.
You know how many kids I taught how to look at onion skin on that table?
Okay.
And it's, but that doesn't, the black energy is, I don't see how that is similar.
Okay, this is not a physics class.
No, it's a cell.
Yeah, so we don't understand what, the point is we don't understand what nothing is.
Right.
And being that we don't understand what nothing is.
What are you going to make it out of?
We can't make a something out of nothing because we have no nothing.
I have no nothing to make it out of.
How much nothing do you have? I have no nothing.
Yes.
I used to say I have
nothing.
I used to have to say, oh, I got plenty of nothing.
I
yeah. I used to say I have an infinite amount of nothing, but in actuality, there is
you
no
have
nothing.
A zero amount of nothing.
I have absolutely no nothing whatsoever.
Yes.
Nothing is.
That's what I just said.
You're good for nothing.
Yeah, that's good. I'd be good for nothing. That's exactly it.
That's what your mother might have called you, nothing.
Okay. Just think about it, though. But what can contain infinity? Nothing. Yep. Shalmaila Viruki, who me made us good to Lassa Shalakurish Baruch, Vakurish Baruch, Lassa Achdus Pashas Kid Isa Bazar, the Ihovagarme Ochad. And we can't, just as we can't understand the infiniteness of Hashem, we can't understand the essence of Hashem, we can't understand Hashem's greatness, anything that Hashem does.
Right.
And just as it is, we can't understand how Hashem can keep emanating and making all this stuff. We can't understand Hashem, we can't understand His midos, we can't understand how great it is. We can't understand how Hashem can contain Himself either. That's the point that he wants to mention over here. Okay. In talking in Lurianic Kabbalistic terms, the product of Tzimtzum Harishon, the first contraction, was in order to facilitate that we should have a limited world. That was his deal, because before that, what they were saying is, he's a Seder Histalshalus. There's an infinite number of steps between the infiniteness of Hashem, the essence of Hashem, and our world. And the Arizal said, well, you can't do that because you'll never get here.
Right.
It's because you'll always be having, and if you keep on halving...
If you go half and half and half,
half and half,
you're
half
still
and
never
half,
get there.
You're never going to get there. You're never going to get here from there.
Can't get there.
Okay. So the Arizal said there has to be a quantum leap.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Sure.
What was the result of the quantum leap? Is there was a revelation of Hashem's finiteness.
Right.
Meaning Hashem's Gevura. How big, as we said this before, how big is Hashem's Gevura? Hashem's finiteness is infinite.
Right.
Okay.
Well, how else could you have a Gevura that would contain infinite?
Exactly. Hashem's finiteness. So therefore, let's say we don't understand Hashem's ability to emanate some sort of life-giving flow.
Right.
We haven't got a clue how Hashem can hold it back either.
Right.
The whole deal is totally beyond us. Okay, that's the point that he wants to say over here. But
he gives two hoots.
But where is it that he's talking about over here? Remember, we're talking about Shariyachad Vamunah, the first six chapters, talks about that the only thing that exists is Hashem.
Right.
So we understand that not only is it that the energy is godliness, but the limitation is also godliness.
Of course, of course, of course.
And when you say that this table goes from here until there, this limitation is the expression of Hashem's infiniteness.
Sure, of course it is.
Except it's an expression of Hashem's finiteness, which is infinite.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay? And we don't understand that because we see things in very limited three dimensions.
Finite's looking at finite.
Exactly. Okay? But in actuality, it's an expression of Hashem. Even the limitations are an expression of Hashem's infiniteness.
Are an infinite expression.
Because Hashem's limitations are also infinite.
Right.
So if that be the case, then there is no such thing as a limitation.
Right.
So you look, you think you see limitations. Really, there are no limitations. Because the limitations are an expression of infiniteness.
So we're saying this pot calling the kettle black?
I don't see how that fits over here, sorry.
The fact that limitation is seeing limitation. It's one and the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's
the limitation is really unlimited.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly. They're both, just because you have two expressions seeing each one, and they're the same thing, you're looking at each other. So hence it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's exactly why we can't understand what the heck is going on over here. Okay, and that's why you'll never be able to understand Hashem. And you know what else? Is you're never going to be able to understand this either. Shari Yechid Vamonu, the first six chapters, there's no way that you can go, oh yeah.
Oh, I got that.
I got it. Because as soon as you do, you're not going to exist anymore.
Come on.
You're just going to fade right out of existence.
I had seminary. I had so many classes with
you. We can talk about it. We can throw around the jargon, but we're never going to understand how it is that only Hashem exists. Because as soon as you say, I understand it, you put the I there first. Hello? Well,
yeah.
Once you say I,
you're done.
Yeah, you just establish limitations.
You're done, yeah.
We can't get there from here.
Right.
Okay? It's nice to talk about it. It's fun to philosophize.
He can get there from here. We can't get there from here.
That's exactly it. Okay? So that fits now when you have a classic line. Yes, the line is that God is this table.
Yes.
If you say the table is God, then we throw you off a cliff on your head because that's idolatry.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, there's a very big difference between the two statements.
Yes, there is.
Okay, there are people who would want to say, listen, if godliness is everything, so what? So this table is also, so I'll worship the table. Or at least I'll appreciate the God spirit of the table. The American Indian type paradigm,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Okay. So that's idolatry. But to say that God is the table, it's like, sorry, click, outer limits. You know, that's it. Even though we use the theory of the string theory to as an example, a paradigm, but scientists really haven't got a clue what strings are either, you know, because they just don't. They're just postulates, you know, theories. So we have no conception of how Hashem is able to limit himself in such a way that we exist at all. Because Hashem's ability to limit is also infinite. L'hazik midas gevurah, shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehu midas ha-tzimtzum, amenias hispashas achayas. That this attribute of gevurah, what is it? It's the contractions and a holding back of the defulgence of, he says, the spreading of godliness, midaligdulasai, from his greatness. It's all coming from kindness. Why is Hashem creating the world? It's because Hashem is really kind. And in order for the world to be created, Hashem knows, well, I'm such a kind entity that I'm going to have to hold back in order for the kindness to come through. So now when we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, it's not two attributes. Okay, I went as a bacher. It's one. As a bacher, I used to go to Dumivtsoyim when I was in Morristown. So the next city over from Morristown is Madison, New Jersey. Mm. And there are two colleges in Madison, New Jersey. There is Drew University, which was for rich, stupid kids. And there was, you needed a C-plus average to get in, and they didn't give scholarships, you know. So it was like for rich, stupid kids. And And then there was Fairleigh Dickinson University, which I'm not exactly sure who that was for, because it was also a private school. But so I used to do, when we saw him on Fairleigh Dickinson, stand in the Commons over there on Friday. We had a little table over there. We got permission. And there was always somebody else who was in this Commons area. There were always other groups doing whatever they were doing.
Yes.
There'd be people selling stuff and other people from Lahavdil from other religions.
Yes.
And several times there was a group from the Essex Fells Bible College. And they were, I don't know, I'm sure who, with whom they were aligned, which denomination.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, basically hawking people to get saved.
Yes, they were.
Okay. So, one of the people who came was a person who I had known from high school, who, I'm not sure what he's doing now, but for a while he was in charge of the chapter of Jews for Yoizel in California, Southern California.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, the first time I saw him, I just like he and I were on the track team together, and I just like went, hey, come on in, you know, we gave each other, hell, how are you, what are you doing, you know, you found religion, it's like, you know, he found the wrong religion.
Yeah.
So I said to him, you should put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we don't do that anymore. And I said, Yaisel put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, Yaisel put on tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he put on tefillin. Okay, so he said, now you have to say Shema. And he said, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. And then he says to me, you know what Shema means? I said, I know what Shema means. He says, yeah, you have Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem. It's the Trinity. Okay, it's right there. Okay, I told him, give me back my tefillin. They never sent him back to Fairleigh Dickinson. There was always a group there, but they never sent him back. I guess they got kind of nerd. The girl who was with got kind of really like flipped out that he was putting on tefillin, you know. So,
sure, they were.
But, you know, that's what you want to believe, you know. This is, you know, you can use the Torah to prove anything, you know.
Sure.
So, but that's exactly the point that he wants to make over here. This is a comma. Hashem Elokeinu, oh, by the way, it's only just Hashem Echad. That's the way we translate that verse. It's not Hashem and Elokeinu. It's Hashem Elokeinu. If you could say the word, if we lack the ability to articulate both functions simultaneously.
Correct. It's impossible.
So
not in our realm.
Right. We can't say two words simultaneously. We can't say Hashem Elokeinu.
We live the realm, but we can't articulate the realm.
So that's what he's coming to say. Is by the way, if you would have thought that it's two different things, there are two functions that are happening over here. It's not. It's all you want to say that Elokeinu is an expression of Gevura. I got news for you. Elokeinu here is an expression of kindness. It's only Hashem. That's all it is. The whole purpose of why Elokeinu was put into action is so that that Yudkei Vavkei, that Avaya, should be able to function in making this world. Did it really already? Oh.
Was that a bird or an alarm?
That was an alarm.
I thought maybe.
Sure. I lost the train of thought. I did it myself. To prevent and hold back the godliness from flowing down, which is coming from Hashem's greatness down to us, that we should be getting the godliness full jets. But how is it that we get it? We get the godliness in a concealed way. Shachayis mastasir beguf hanivra ki ilu guf hanivra hu davar bifnei atzmai. The godliness is contained within everything to such an extent that the thing appreciates its own existence.
Yeah.
We are created because of Shem Elokim.
Yes.
We get to say, "Oh, I exist."
Yeah.
That's why the paradigm of the sun ray and the sun works. You want to come up and say that there's a problem with that paradigm is because the sun is not 93 million miles away. The sun is right here, because where is Hashem not? But the paradigm of the sun ray does work because of Hashem Elokim. We consider ourselves to be separate from Hashem. And how is it that we're separate from Hashem? is that we're totally and completely nullified in our existence to the godliness which is creating us. Okay? So it looks as though we exist, and it's not just us.
Right.
Chachma of Atzilus.
Yes.
Which is, what's Chachma of Atzilus? It's just a point. It's the power of what? It's a potential. Recognizes itself for its own existence.
Right. Therefore.
Okay, you have in the end of Parshas Toldos. It lists over there. The end of Parshas Chayasara, you have Lavan's, not Lavan's, Besuel's descendants.
Yes.
Okay? And or Haran's descendants. It says that Besuel had a concubine, and her name was Reuma.
Mm-hmm.
And it, this is the question which is asked, is which verse is holier? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Basul Hayakum Pelegus is Shema Reuma, and Basul had a concubine. Her name was Reuma. Which verse is holier?
No.
It's a trick question. They're both holy.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
If the latter verse was not in the Torah, it would be a Pasul Torah.
Right.
What's Reuma? And it's a Pelegus. A Pelegus would be translated as a hanger honor.
Okay.
Why would a woman allow herself to become a Pelegus? Is better to be a Pelegish than nothing. Better to be a concubine, have no claim to any inheritance, and at least to have some kind of a life with a husband. Okay, a concubine was not just a tzatzkila, like we think of with a harem and these things. You know, concubine is a Pelegish, and he, and according to Jewish law, is a wife. It's just right. She has no kasuba. She doesn't have the protection.
Right.
So here we have this concubine called Reuma. Let's see what will be. It's the beginning of Klippa. Where is it? It's in Chachma. There's already, in other words, there's something in Chachma already. There's this little taint of something that says, well, let's see what we are.
Yeah.
Is it really anything? No, it's still a potential, but it's enough that Chachma recognizes its own existence as Chachma. If you could ask Chachma of Atzilus, hey buddy, what's your name? He would say Chachma of Atzilus. He wouldn't say Hashem.
Right, I'm Chachma. Right. Right.
Okay, and that is the result of Shem Elokim.
You just ask him what he shows. He said, I show me Hashem. But you.
I'm not asking what you do for a living. I'm asking you what's your name.
What are you? What are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? I'm Chachma. That's it. That's it.
The identity is right. Even Chachma of Atzilus, right. That we say, Iyu v'chayehu chad, and Chachma is the first point. The whole thing
is a
Chachma of Atzilus exists as an entity recognizing itself separate from Hashem.
Exactly.
Okay? I mean, comparable to what's going on in Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, so you're going to call it Olam HaYichud. And he says that back in Simon Chaf in the back of the book over there, Iyu v'chayehu chad, Iyu v'gaymehu chad, Hashem is totally and completely united with them, and they all have infinite quality, but that's not what we're talking about over here.
Right.
Does it have parameters? It has specific parameters.
Right.
It's Chachma, and it recognizes itself as Chachma. It says in Sefer Yetzirah, Asir Sfiras B'lima. There are 10 Sfiras. Each one is unique.
Right.
Okay, they have V'ein Lahem Mahus. They have no Metzias. They have no entity of what they are.
Right.
You can't draw a picture of Chachma of Atzilus.
Right.
But there's 10 spheres. This is Chachma is not Bina. Bina is not Gevura.
Right.
So it recognizes itself.
Right.
Ki ilagufa nivra hu davar v'nei atzme ve'ena hispashtis v'chayas v'ruchnias v'hispashtis diva or v'shemesh. And it's not the same thing like the sun ray. Elohu davar v'nei atzme, it's a thing for itself. We'll go down to the dot.
Okay.
Even though nothing is really a thing for itself.
Right.
Everything exists as a sun ray being needing, requiring the sun to keep it in existence. But nonetheless, this is what's going to be determined as, this is how we're going to define Hashem's Gevura. Hashem's Gevura makes things appear that they have a separate existence from Hashem.
Right.
Now, so but at this point, since we're saying the first six chapters, the only thing that exists is Elokus. So what is he saying over here? Yes, Hashem makes it such that things have limitations, but the limitations are only godliness.
Right.
Okay, let me know when you understand this and you can sit here and I'll sit there.
I ain't going there.
It's something to think about, but not when you drive, because you're going to come up with a conclusion that the tree that you're headed for doesn't have any parameters, and you just go right through it, just because you know, and that's not going to happen. It's going to hurt, as you know.
Well, what I was thinking was a bank account.
My bank account is definitely an expression of nothing. As much as you put into it, my bank account is still nothing.
I am an extreme Gavor addict.
Yeah, mine.
It doesn't exist.
We've been calling our bank account the black hole. I mean, you know, things just go in and they never come out. It's exactly. Just put more in, more and more and more, and just that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like the gravitational pull, it just doesn't let anything out. It's just it's gone.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, let's that Hashem has the ability, Hashem can do anything, his ability to contain the vitality, and the ruchnius hanishbas meruach piv, which is this godly flow of creation, which is coming from Hashem's mouth, and to conceal it, such that the thing which is trying to be created doesn't disappear. We don't have, just like this, we don't understand the Hispashtus, we don't understand how Hashem is able to produce this godliness to create. We don't understand how Hashem is to be able to produce a concealment to contain the revelation so that we can come into existence. So just as we can't understand an existence of a something from nothing, we can't understand the power behind it either, how Hashem could even be limiting that there should be a something or a nothing at all. To be continued, we're stopping at the parenthesis, and I will explain next week why we are stopping at the parenthesis. To be continued.
Very good, very good. So.